like August at St. Thomas Sports Park as the Titans get back on the field without pads for another day of training camp 2014. Welcome to Titans Live here at TitansOnline.com. I'm Mike Keith. Glad to have you with us on this hot and humid Sunday as the Titans have a bus to catch. In about 3 hours, the team is going to be leaving for Flowery Branch, Georgia, where they'll practice tomorrow afternoon against the Atlanta Falcons. But before they go, one more practice and about an hour and 45 minutes of work on what is today Academy Sports and Outdoors Day here at St. Thomas Sports Park. Of course, you know right now, getting ready with the kids. Academy Sports and Outdoors is back to school central. We know them as a great team partner who helps bring our Titans caravan out every spring. So excited to work with Academy Sports and Outdoors again today. Lots of great prizes here. Your questions coming up later in the show. Amy Wells going to be standing by to take those. You can submit them at Facebook or via Twitter. Remember, it's hashtag Titans Live. If you're out and about today and thinking about coming to St. Thomas Sports Park for practice, some really good autographs, Jake Locker, Dexter McCluster, Michael Griffin, also Mark Mariani, and if you're a Western Kentucky fan, Antonio Andrews is going to be signing. And a little bit of news out of the Titans camp just moments ago, Andy Levitre was activated from the non-football illness list back to the active roster. Levitre had an appendectomy on July the 24th, and he is back to work right now today and is practicing with the team. Has been on the 90-man roster all along, but now, by being moved back to active, is eligible to practice. I bring in my partner for today's edition of Titans Live now, Keith Bullock, one of the best linebackers in franchise history. Good to see you.
Good to see you, too, on this extremely – this is a camp day.
This is one of those days
where you come out here and it might be tough to get through. Good thing they're not in pads, but this is a tip. This is how I remember it.
Last night, they practiced at LP Field. They had Pinnacle Financial Partners Day there, and the team went through some game-like situations. They did some scrimmaging, some special teams, various things. But it almost seemed like it was as much for the coaches in terms of being in the box, who's on the headset, those sorts of things, as much as it was the players. Is that fair, you think?
Yeah, absolutely. That's what you call a dress rehearsal. You know, they go through the game day preparations, game day scenarios within practice. You know, you go to the stadium because you got to remember, this is these coaches' first time maybe possibly calling from these booths in this stadium. So they definitely have to get ready. They have to go through and let the guys know how they want them to come up, how they want them to line up, pregame, all those different things, so there are no hiccups come that first preseason game.
A lot of focus on offense and defense last night, but also a lot of focus on the kickers. We saw number 3, Maikon Bonani, and number 4, Travis Coons, working again last night. And both of them did okay. The competition continues. What are the coaches looking for out of these guys? What do they need to see specifically from these kickers?
Well, it's just like the cornerback competition. They want to see someone go out there and assert themselves as the number one kicker. They want to see someone with consistency, even with the makes. But then how do they react after they miss a long one? Do they bounce right back, and do they hit it? How many in a row are they going to hit? And what is their mindset as they prepare for each kicking opportunity they get? Look, this is the opportunity of a lifetime for both of these guys. And I'm sure if they can't make the grade, there are other guys waiting in the wing that are not in camps right now.
All right, let me ask you first about the determining factor, and that is Coons has been a little more accurate. Bonani shows the bigger leg, particularly on kickoffs. Does one give an advantage over the other, knowing how today's game is played?
That's a great question. I don't know. I think what will be the determining factor is when they get into these preseason games. You know, how will they kick during real live pressure? When there's a kickoff and it has to be covered, when there's extra point attempts or even deep field goals for the win or just to tie the game up. They're going to be put in a lot of different situations that will help the coaches out making their final decision.
You mentioned the possibility of adding somebody. How long do you let these guys go and compete before you say, let's add a veteran to the mix Do you let it go all the way to final cuts, or do you do it sooner?
I do it sooner. I let it go to about the third preseason game, and then maybe possibly that fourth preseason game, get a veteran in here, get someone in here that has been in game situations that doesn't necessarily need a whole preseason camp in order to win a competition. Someone that you know that can come in on game day and hit some chip shots and some extra points for you.
Got some special things on this edition of Titans Live, including a visit with Peter King. Amy Wells with a great interview with Peter King coming up later in the program. We're going to focus on offensive line. We'll talk about that and more coming up on this edition of Titans Live at TitansOnline.com.
You know, I want a smart, tough, disciplined football team. But the important thing is that they're ready to go on Sunday.
Our goal is to put the type of team out there that our fans can be proud of.
Great new ticket options. Call 615-565-4200.
Titan fans, it's time to tighten up.
St. Thomas Sports Park, Titans Training Camp 2014. Mike Keith, Keith Bullock with Titans Live. Everything is new this year for the Titans, including a new offensive line coach. He has quite a resume. His name is Bob Bostad, and he visited with our Amy Wells just before they started today.
Now, Coach, you're known for coaching pretty aggressive, pretty physical lines. Have you seen this out of this group here?
Yeah, I think that we have some guys that have the same traits, and I think, number one, that they like to do that, they want to be that, and that's a big start to it. You know, they don't see themselves as finesse guys, so that's a good start.
Now, offensive line requires a lot of communication. Are you seeing these guys communicating and gelling together well?
Yeah, I think when we started in the spring, when we first got here, the guys have done a really good job, you know, just from the meeting rooms and then carrying it over to here, it's been they've done a really good job, I think.
Now, you have a lot of veteran leaders in Michael Ruse and Andy Levitre, but also some younger guys who can kind of step up, Chance Warmack and Brian Schwenke. How are you seeing those two roles kind of fit together in terms of leadership?
Well, it's a good blend of guys, like you said. I mean, you got some older guys, you got the mid-range guys, you young, talented guys, so it's really good. And I think every guy can lend something. You know, Michael's got kind of the long tooth of the group, and he can tell you some things. And they're really helpful with all those guys, which is important. But I think then the other guys that have been through it a little bit are willing to give information too. So I think they're all really a good group that gels, you know, and they like each other, and that's a good start.
Now, Coach, what are you going to try and establish with these guys in the next week before the first preseason game?
You know, just play a clean game. Start out with the building blocks, you know, like you said, communication and assignments and proper footwork, a lot of stuff that we spend a lot of time in that we don't want to have to necessarily have to go back and reinvent the wheel. I mean, hopefully we will have the core things down, and once we have that, you feel like you have a good base, and then it's not every week to week, it's, you know, you feel like you're teaching something new. The guys know what's going on, but everybody always will pose a different challenge, but the core is there.
Now, Coach, you guys are getting ready to go to Flowery Branch to go up against the Atlanta Falcons. Are you guys excited to go up against someone in a different colored jersey?
Yeah, I mean, I'm tickled. I can't wait to go. You know, I mean, we're all excited. I hope we're really excited. I think the guys are. And, just to have a different group and change it up is good. Yeah, it's great.
Well, thank you very much for joining us before practice. Coach, or Mike, back to you.
I got promoted. That's good. Thank you, Amy. That's Bob Bostad with Amy Wells. And as you look at Bob Bostad's track record, you think about Wisconsin. They got those big offensive linemen. They're not finesse. You think about what Tampa Bay was the last couple years. They were not based around finesse.
Not at all.
Titans are not expecting to be finesse in their offensive line either, are they?
No, not at all. You think about, like you said, Mike, in Wisconsin, they're Big Ten, you know, Big 12 now. They're grounding and pounding. They're grinding those yardages on the ground. And then, look, Doug Martin was Rookie of the Year 2 years ago, ran for over 1,000 yards and had a good year last year. And now we come here. I don't think that we should see any drop-off. There's a good stable of offensive line, starting with Roos, and then you go to Lavitre, you got Schwanky, Wormack. All those guys up front are able to get this running game going for sure.
Lavitre is back at practice today. Do want to mention that if you're just joining us on Titans Live. But Lavitre's spot has been filled for the past 9 days by the first-round pick. Taylor Lewan, another Big Ten guy with that power, that ground and pound that Bob Bostad likes. Does it really benefit him that much to work at left guard, even though we know his future is at tackle?
Yeah, absolutely. He's out there getting first-team reps. And the person that's going to be playing next to him is going to be a guard. So what's really happening for him, he's learning the offense outside in, starting from guard, and I'm sure he gets reps at tackle as well. He can only know, you can't know too much is what I'm trying to say. So for as a rookie, it's a great basis and a great way for him to start out by learning a position that he's not going to play, because in dire situations, you never know what's going to happen. And look, the Hall of Famer Bruce Matthews played all three positions on the offensive line, so it never hurts to have more knowledge.
You played over a decade on defense in this league. You know what offensive linemen look like. When you see Lewan just physically, and the people who've come out to St. Thomas Sports Park who see him in person, wow.
Yeah, he's wow. And then even more of a wow factor is his 40 time at the combine. I believe it was a 4.6 or something like that. That's unbelievable for a guy that size on the offensive line. That's the Davion number, Davion Clowney type 40 time numbers. And, you know, his athleticism speaks for itself. Anytime you get an offensive lineman from the University of Michigan, especially in the first round, you have to expect big things from him.
Lavitre is back. How much has it hurt this team not having him in terms of being able to gel quickly?
I don't think it hurt the team too much, just because he was here last year. You know, he played next to Roos last year. Schwanky was a rookie. He got some snaps. They played a little bit this spring. So I don't think it hurt too much. If anything, it helped, because these guys had to work with people that they're not going to be used to working with during the season. And that makes them communicate that much more in practice. So I think when Andy gets back in there, communication will pick up where they left off, and this line will probably be one of the better ones in the National Football League this year.
Have you seen improvement already out of number 70 right guard Chance Wormack?
I absolutely have. You know, he's one of those guys, very impressive as a rookie last year, just when speaking to him, his approach to the game. He got an opportunity to get coached up his first year by Mike Munchak, Bruce Matthews, two Hall of Famers, and now Coach Bostaff is going to put his little wrinkle on it and get him further along in his maturation progress, as well as the linemen that are in his classroom. Look, Michael Orr has played a lot of football, has won a world championship, so he's only going to get better, and he has that nasty attitude that you love to see in your offensive line.
You like Wormack and Orr together, because they're a couple of road graders, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. Chance, man, he's one of those bulldozers that'll get you out there, and then just the times that I've been here at practice watching Michael Orr, he definitely gets after it. He pancaked a couple of guys last week early in practice and then had a little bit of words for him after it, too. So you like that nasty streak on your offensive line.
I want to ask you about your former teammate, Michael Roos. The two of you played together for 5 years. He's entering year 10. We know a lot's been talked about with the Titans drafting Taylor Lewan. He's handled all of that like a pro, and looks like he's off to a great start in camp as well.
Well, look, Michael Roos has been nothing but a professional, even with the time that I played with him. He was one of those guys who brought his lunch pail and hard hat and went to work. And when you get at this point in the career that Michael Roos is in, you don't worry about competition. You know, he was built for this. His career started off of competition. So I think that he welcomes the challenge of having a younger Taylor Lewan coming here to pushing him at this later stage of his career. And just because it's his last year of his contract doesn't mean he will not be in a Titans uniform next year. I think it's great competition, and it gives the savvy vet the opportunity to sharpen his skills.
Let's tie it up in a bow. This is an offensive line that's almost been totally rebuilt in the last two off seasons by Rustin Webster. It looks like it can be a strength of this football team. Agree?
I agree. I think it will be just because, look, there was no need to draft in the first round at O-line, but they did. Now they have more depth. They have a lot of guys that can fill in and know this offense. It gives the O-line and offensive coordinators more to be able to do because they understand that their O-line has the capabilities of taking on those complex blocking schemes and maybe plays that they put in there. So they're only going to get better with time, and going out to Atlanta is going to be great for them because they get the opportunity to finally work against another defense.
Well, and the Falcons are trying to rebuild their defensive line, so you can expect they'll try to sort of have that attitude going tomorrow, and the Titans will want to impose their will on the offensive line tomorrow. So that ought to be a real battle in Flowery Branch, Georgia. As we see lots of people, another fantastic crowd at St. Thomas Sports Park. We mentioned last night the team was working at LP Field. Special guests all over the place, and Amy Wells caught up with one.
I'm standing here with Sports Illustrated's Peter King, who I have heard you are the three-time Sports Writer of the Year. How do you feel about that?
That's ridiculously awesome. I'm very honored to be the three-time Sports Writer of the Year, and thank you for reminding me. I hadn't thought of it in a few days.
Well, we're glad to have you out here. What have you seen out of the Titans at practice today?
This is the 12th team I've seen on my training camp tour, and in almost every place you go, you can say the same thing. They'll go as far as their quarterback takes them. But in Tennessee, they'll go as far as their quarterback takes them. And with the exception of one poor throw in the end zone, Jake Locker had a really good 12-play drive, completed all his passes. I think that if Locker plays well, this team is going to be playing important games in November and December.
Now, Jerrell Casey is someone who's kind of flown under the radar nationally. Do you think this is going to be the year that he kind of emerges as a big player?
Last year, Jerrell Casey was one of those guys where I kept saying, who is this guy? You know, because every game he's making two or three big plays. And I think he's the kind of guy who, that's how your front office can win games for you. Because to draft a guy like him where they drafted him, when you draft guys in the first round that aren't nearly as impactful as he is. So I look at him and I say that he's the kind of guy who, if you stockpile two or three or four of those guys on your defensive unit, then, and you can fill in with complementary players all around him, your defense is going to be very much good enough to win.
Now, you're familiar with Ken Wisenhunt and kind of his resume. What's something that you can tell our fans about him that may surprise them a little bit?
One of the things that I think was about him that I've always really liked, because he was a player, I think he has his finger on the pulse of a team. He knows when to beat the tar out of a team in practice, when to take it easy. And I'll always think that when he took his team, Arizona team, to the Super Bowl a few years ago, one of the greatest things he did, they got thrashed at New England. It was Christmas week. And he came back. He took the team back to Arizona. And this was Christmas week where most people either giving their players a little extra time off, taking it easy on them. He put them in pads through the entire week. One day in the pouring rain, which is rare for Tempe, Arizona, and he'd had them beat each other up, in essence. And the message from him was, I'm not going to take mediocrity. And they went on in January. They almost won the Super Bowl. They were a miracle. Ben Roethlisberger passed to Santonio Holmes in the end zone from winning the Super Bowl. And I think that is when a coach can have a huge impact on a team. When you're at a crisis point and the coach won't back down. He's willing to risk, really, his career, you know, to say, we have to do this better, and if we don't, hey, I'm getting fired anyway, and we're probably all getting fired. So he put his guts on the line, and he ended up being right. And I think that will serve him in good stead here, because being a player once, he knows how players think, and he knows what works and doesn't work.
Do you think this team has the pieces that will respond well to that type of coaching, that style of coaching?
The one thing about the Titans that I've always thought, going back to Jeff Fisher, is that what I like about their drafts in recent years, especially, and now Taylor Lewan this year, and I think more and more NFL teams are drafting players. They're saying, for this guy to succeed, he has to love football. And right now, they've got a bunch of guys on their team, you know, from back in the secondary, Jason McCourty and Bernard Pollard. Football is really important to him. Jarrell Casey, it's really important to him. The linebackers, you know, some of their skill guys, Jake Locker, he wants it bad. And so that's really important. And I think that they've done a good job. Rustin Webster and his predecessors have done a good job in collecting guys who really want to play. And I think when you're in a three-game losing streak and everybody's down and the fans hate you and even your dog hates you, you better be able to come to work and say, this is the week we're turning it around. And I think that's the attitude these guys have on this team.
Well, thank you very much for being here and for joining us right here on Titans Live.
No problem.
All right. Peter King standing by with Amy Wells, who's now back. Amy Wells. Great job, Amy. That was wonderful.
Hey,
that was fantastic. Now Amy's back with some questions, and Keith Bullock's going to answer your questions on Titans Live. So as we get ready, we remind you, you can submit the questions on Facebook or via Twitter, hashtag Titans Live. Amy, fire away.
All right, Jarrell on Twitter wants to know, is it more difficult for offensive linemen to go against and read a coverage that's a 4-3 or a 3-4?
It's a great Twitter question. I don't know. I honestly would not know. That's maybe out of my jurisdiction just for the simple fact I never played O-line. I think that it might be more difficult for a 3-4. This is an educated guess because you have multiple guys coming at you from different ways. You never know where the rush is coming from. From a 4-3, you have four linemen lined up in front of you, and that's pretty much the rush unless it's down in distance where that team might blitz by game plan. But I would say just on a typical set, it would probably be harder for a 3-4 because you don't know exactly who's rushing and who's dropping.
Let me take it a different way. I wonder if it's as hard today because so many more teams run the 3-4.
Right.
The Titans saw a 3-4 defense or basically some form of it in the first six games last year. Used to, I can't remember, six
right.
teams running the 3-4. Now it's about half and half.
Well, that makes it even more to the point that they probably are better. That changes the point, actually. Maybe 3-4. Because it makes sense. If you're going against a 3-4 all the time, whereas the Titans were going against the 4-3 in practice up until this year, but they're playing against a 3-4, I think playing against a 3-4 more better prepares them for 3-4s. And, you know, I guess they had an advantage when we were a 4-3 defense to go against a 4-3 all the time in practice. So that's like a double-edged sword. It just, I guess, it depends on what your team runs more and what you're going to face more. But you're absolutely right. More teams are 3-4 defenses.
Well, I think we'll go back to what you said at first, Keith, and that is good Twitter question. How about another one, Amy Wells?
All right, guys. Gerard from Facebook asks, what will be the main focus of the Titans practice tomorrow against the Atlanta Falcons?
Okay, good one.
I think it would be everything. I think they'll focus on the coaches when they go to watch the film. They'll look at that cornerback position. They'll see how their young guys are doing against different competition, you know, not going against a familiar face. The competition changes when you're going against an unfamiliar opponent. So that brings out maybe some good in some players, and some players might take a couple steps back. You know, that's in practice against your teammates, it's a more controlled environment, kind of, sort of. But out there against Atlanta, everyone's going to be flying around, and the Falcons can't wait for the Titans to get there. So I would say in these practices, at least the first one, the whole overall Titans team.
Amy, question number three, please.
All right, Keith, this is one from you, and it comes from Twitter. Everybody wants to know, when you were playing, which offensive lineman did you have to keep your head on a swivel for?
Oh,
all of them. They're all good. You know, I think about ones like Brad Meester, who I played against a lot in Jacksonville. I think about Jeff Saturday, who I played against a lot in with the Indianapolis Colts. But then, you know, I go to whole lines when I think about, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs, who always have a great line. The Denver Broncos, who I used to love to play against because they had such a good line. And, you know, some of those Baltimore lines. So you can't really sleep on any of the offensive linemen because they're all trying to knock your head off. Or, you know, if you're not paying attention, you will get it knocked off.
I want to touch on something just real quickly because Michael Strahan went in the Hall of Fame last night. And former Titan John Runyon, who played against him, John played for Philly at the time, and, of course, Strahan was a defensive lineman for the Giants, and they battled twice a year for several years. He went to his Hall of Fame induction. And what a statement about the professionalism there. And I bet as a former NFL player, that makes you proud.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's one of those things. Michael Strahan, if you watch his Hall of Fame highlights, a lot of them were made against John Runyon on that Philly game, sacking Donovan McNabb five or six times in one game. So that's the ultimate amount of respect that you can show to a fellow opponent. Where, you know, they're both retired now, and all you have is those memories and those highlights. And I'm sure Runyon was sitting there, you know what, this was one of my fiercest competitors, and obviously they didn't show the times that Runyon got him, but I'm sure that Big John got him a bunch of times too. So as a competitor, as a former athlete, you love to see that when you're being paid homage by your former foes, your former opponents.
Back to wrap up this edition of Titans Live and get you ready for the Titans' trip to Flowery Branch. That's when we continue after this. It's Titans Live at TitansOnline.com.
You know, I want a smart, tough, disciplined football team. But the important thing is that they're ready to go on Sunday.
Our goal is to put the type of team out there that our fans can be proud of.
Great new ticket options. Call 615-565-4200.
Titan fans, it's time to tighten up.
As soon as the Titans finish this practice today, get a shower, grab something to eat, and get on a bus and head to Flowery Branch, Georgia, where they'll arrive very late tonight, get up tomorrow, have meetings, a walkthrough, and then tomorrow afternoon, a practice with the Atlanta Falcons at their complex. What are the Titans looking to get done in that practice?
Well, I know first and foremost, they're looking to see their team compete. You know, Coach Wisenhunt hasn't seen – they've seen them this last week going against each other, working on the different things in full pads. But they're looking to see these guys go out there, compete. They probably want to get done what they're going to run against Green Bay, maybe their first 15 on offense, work on the kicking game, special teams. That has to be on point. And defensively – it's going to be a great opportunity for a lot of these guys who played in that 4-3 scheme to go out there against real live bullets. Matt Ryan, one of the best quarterbacks in the league with that duo of Roddy White and Julio Jones, it's going to be a great competition for them. So I think, like I say, they're going to be looking for it all.
Great work for the receivers and
yeah,
for the defensive
absolutely.
Backs, especially.
Especially with that cornerback competition. You know, they're going to get their work cut out for them. There's a lot of things going on in Atlanta. And for the run defense, too, Steven Jackson is one of the still big running backs of this league and can do a lot of different things. So I'm excited. I'm sure all the Titan fans and as well as the coaches – definitely the players.
Bit of an adventure getting on the bus, checking in the hotel, having the time tomorrow. Is this as much a bonding experience for this team as it is a football experience?
It absolutely is. They don't go away to camp too much anymore, and the Titans are one of those teams that don't. But this is like going away for a mini camp. You know, it's a three, four-day getaway. And, look, there are going to be some scraps. There might even be some fights out there on the field. And this is when the team gets tighter. You get to see the camaraderie. You get to see them have each other's back. And, look, for the Atlanta Falcons – it's going to be a long, long days for both teams.
6 days from now, Titans against Green Bay Packers, LP Field, 7 o'clock Central next Saturday night. Different phase of training camp we're entering right now. The players have something to look forward to.
Yeah, absolutely. I think these next two, this weekend and next weekend, they have plenty to look forward to. You get past Atlanta, then you come home and rest. You correct that, and then you go into game planning. You go into game planning for the Green Bay Packers. And obviously, you don't know exactly what Green Bay is going to do. You go based upon what they had last year, but it's going to be very basic, and they get to look forward to hitting someone else and get closer to the regular season.
Knock on wood. Good start to training camp. Would you not agree?
I definitely would agree. Every time we've been out here, they've been working hard. You see competition every single day, not just going through the motions. You see guys out here really sweating, working after practice, working on the things that they're going to need to be great players this year.
All right. The next open practice for the Titans is at 9:20 on Wednesday morning. That's August 6th, 9:20. We're back here at TitansOnline.com with another Titans Live at 9:30. Which position are we going to focus on?
I think we need to go to the quarterbacks.
Ah!
About that time.
About that time.
Yes, sir.
All right, Jake Locker, Charlie Whitehurst, Mettenberger, Wilson. We're going to talk quarterbacks coming up when we're back with Titans Live, 9:30 this Wednesday here at TitansOnline.com. And remember, it's Academy Sports and Outdoors Day here at training camp today at St. Thomas Sports Park. If you're out and about thinking about coming out, you got about another hour. Good autographs today. So we'd love for you to come back out, register to win a prize, meet one of the Titans' top players, including Jake Locker, and enjoy what is a truly hot day of training camp. So about to board some buses, about to head to Flowery Branch, and done with this edition of Titans Live. For Keith Bullock, Mike Keith says thanks for being with us, and we'll see you next time at St. Thomas Sports Park.